isolated thunderstorms around, the high 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 88 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is the Miller's Edge with Christian Miller, two-time national champion and team captain for the Alabama Crimson Tide and former Carolina Panther, and his father, Corey Miller, the pastor of pain, a 9-year NFL veteran with the New York Giants and University of South Carolina Hall of Famer. This is the Miller's Edge.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope you guys are having a great start in your day, and hope you guys are having a great start to your weekend. It's finally that day. For you guys that are here on the YouTube stream, again, we do stream live on YouTube Monday through Friday, same times we do the radio show. You guys already know the drill, but if you haven't checked us out here on YouTube, make sure you do that at the Miller's Edge on YouTube. Looks a little bit different today, and as you guys can see, as well as the Facebook stream, again, Tide 100.9 there as well, but layout's a little bit different, right? Funny story, we'll tell you why real quick. So I'm sitting at home yesterday, and we get a comment. We get a comment on a YouTube, not a YouTube, on a stream video from yesterday, Chase. And, you know, normally it's just basic little stuff like Roll Tide, this and that, and third. But I look, and this comment, Chase, like a paragraph long. So I'm like, oh, man, they must have felt strongly about the conversation yesterday. So I'm looking at the, I go to read the comment, and this is what it says, Chase. So I'm trying to pull up the full thing. Oh, here we go. This is what the comment we got yesterday, Chase. It goes, Chris, can you guys reduce that constantly moving ad page? It takes 90%+ of the page slash screen. It's annoying. The flash is flashing the same crap over and over again. And I'm pretty sure most people like me are ignoring the ads and focusing on you and your live guests. I sometimes have to read your lips to fully understand everything you say. That's hard to do when I can barely see your face and I have great eyesight. That was the comment we got yesterday. And I'm sitting here like thinking, I'm so confused. So I'm like, number one, the last part, like, sometimes that's to read your lips. I'm like, you can't really see my lips because they're behind the microphone. And two, why are you reading my lips when the audio is, I mean, unless the audio is having problems or something, but I'm like, I mean, literally you're listening to the show. And two, I'm like, these people, like, guys, look, if anything, you guys should thank the sponsors, right? I mean, it's not, we just put that up for fun. I mean, these people support the show. Obviously you guys, the listeners and supporters, like, we do it for you guys, but at the same time, like, the people that you know, financially support the show, like, they put the show on, you know what I mean? So if anything, if you guys enjoy the show, you should support those, all of our great sponsors, and anything, it shouldn't be a problem. And third, Chase, I'm like, maybe he doesn't get the drill. I mean, literally we are a radio show. Like, we're a live radio show. There really isn't even, normally with radio, you can't see anything. We know, we just, you know, expanded platforms and turned it into a stream as well, because I know you guys enjoy it. But you know what's funny, man? God works in mysterious ways, because instead of me getting frustrated and like, man, I kind of laughed at it anyway, but instead of getting frustrated, yeah, I said, you know what, man, this might be a good opportunity to try to take his advice, because I'll be honest with you, like, if I had a perfect layout, I wouldn't have had, you know, the big screen in like the main part anyway, which again, it normally plays for like the first segment. Yesterday it did play, you know, a little bit longer because we didn't have anything pulled up, but if anything, when we do play regular videos, which is why I did like it bigger, you guys can see, like, watch the content, you know what I mean, with the bigger screen. Long story short, I said, you know what, man, let me try to take his advice. Obviously he was pretty rude with it, and again, it was very sassy, but I was like, you know what, let me just see what I can do. And come to find out, you actually can move things around. Matter of fact, I found out I can do it in live time, which is cool. Didn't know that StreamYard had done this, because in the past, I wasn't sure if you could really, I guess, navigate all that stuff. So, you know what's funny, man? I guess it's just a quick little life lesson, man. Instead of getting frustrated if somebody kind of addresses you kind of a rude way or they kind of come at, you know what I mean? Like, just see if there's anything you can learn from it, which ironically, you know, we ended up learning from it. So probably not the best way to go about it. Again, the comment was just very, you know, I'm sure he likes the show. And maybe that's why he was just, he's yearning for more. He just wants to see my face as much as he can. That's what I got from it, Chase. But no, I'm kidding. But anyway, shout out to him again. His name was Daryl. So Daryl, thank you. Thank you. You know what? So the sassy comment actually led to a better layout. So you got what you wanted. I'm assuming we improved it, but you guys let me know. I guess you guys probably like this a little bit better. Now you don't see as much of the background. You see me a little bit more zoomed in. The ads are a little bit smaller, which again, I mean, I don't know why that really bothers you. You're just listening to me. But if anything, once we put the videos on, unfortunately, now the interviews and the other videos, and if we put, you know, football tape on, it's going to be smaller, thanks to Daryl. But I guess I can always edit it and make it a little bit bigger. But just thought I'd throw that out there because I know you guys are probably like, oh, it looks a little bit different today. Well, that's why. Daryl left us a fun, friendly comment on the video yesterday, which led to a new layout. But anyway, long story short, that's what happened. But thank you. It actually worked out well. We have a new layout, which I think actually is a little bit better. So shout out to Daryl for that. That being said, a couple things to dive into today on this free-for-all Friday. Big talk right now is around Michigan. I know we talked with our buddy Mike up in New York yesterday about the upcoming announcement for their punishment, which did drop this morning. And pretty lengthy. There's a number of things to hit on. I don't know what you consider from it. You know, I guess really harsh, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know. We're going to review it because there's a number of things to talk about it, see what we think is the worst. But they did bring the hammer down on Michigan this morning. We'll talk about all that. Appreciate Dwight, by the way. He tagged us in something on Twitter that listed all the punishments that they did receive. So we'll dive into that. Obviously, we'll talk some Alabama football. Another scrimmage taking place tomorrow in the stadium. So maybe talk a little bit about previewing that, what we want to see in scrimmage number two. Anybody in particular we might be looking out for, we'll discuss that. Plus, we'll always go to you guys, 205-342-9904, where you guys can call in. We can talk and discuss things, whatever you might have on your mind on this Free-for-All Friday, which, again, Free-for-All Friday means we can go anywhere and everywhere that you guys would like to go. Might be an interview or two we haven't hit yet that we might circle back to if we have a few minutes. Other than that, man, we're pretty much locked and loaded and just gonna let it rip, man. There's a few things I've been watching that I might bring up here as well, man. I like, I don't know if you guys are like me, but there's other podcasts and stuff I tune into. Like Cam Newton's podcast is good. I know he was talking about a number of things that were interesting. Might dive into that, but we'll do what we always do. We'll let the ship sail, man, and see where it takes us. So we'll do that on the other side. But first, let me remind you about our friends, one of our sponsors right there on the beautiful slideshow that Daryl just loves so much, the Good Feet Store, presenting sponsors. Try before you buy. Nothing to lose. Make sure you guys check them out. Our supports that are designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, back pain, you name it, they will take care of it. Where can you find them? Midtown Village in Tuscaloosa, right there off of McFarland Boulevard. You can't miss them. They will take care of you just like they take care of me. Literally, first time I walked in there, man, I mean, while I was, well, they just ran to the back. Didn't even take long, but they were going to the back and grabbing some stuff. They pulled out a foot massager. I mean, these people take great care of you, man. Great customer service, which is huge for me. And they have that A-plus in that category. The product is amazing, phenomenal, has helped me with a lot of stuff, whether it's quad tendonitis, like that jumper's knee type deal, but on the other side, a little bit higher, above the knee. I was dealing with all that, plantar fasciitis, and these arch supports, man, they have been game changers. So check them out. Goodfeet.com is where you can find more information, the nearest location to you. Again, that is the Good Feet Store. Improving the quality of people's lives, 2 feet at a time. Quick time out. We get rolling on this.
Results may vary. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, we're going to dive into things here. All right, we were talking a little bit about Michigan early on in the first segment. And here's what they got. The long-awaited, I guess, punishment for Michigan finally was announced this morning. And this is what you got. 4 years of probation, financial penalties, $50,000 fine plus 10% of their budget for the football program, a fine equivalent to the anticipated loss of all postseason competition revenue sharing associated with the 25 and 2026 seasons, a fine equivalent to the cost of 10% of the scholarships awarded to Michigan's football program for the 25-26 academic year, a 25% reduction in football official visits during the 2025-26 season, a 14-week prohibition on recruiting communications in the football program during probation period. Connor Stallions received an 8-year show clause order restricting him from all athletically related activities during the show clause period. Jim Harbaugh also received a show clause order of 10 years restricting him from all athletically related activities during the show clause period, which will begin on August 7, 2028 at the conclusion of his 4-year show cause order from a previous case. Dear God, he's out of there. Denard Robinson, 3-year show cause order restricting him from all athletically related activities during the show cause period. And Sharon Moore, current head coach, a 2-year show cause order during which he's suspended from a total of 3 games. Michigan self-imposed a 2-game suspension for Moore during the upcoming 25-26 season. The panel determined that a suspension for 1 additional game was appropriate. Therefore, Moore will also be suspended for the first game of the 26-27 season. Apart from the 3-game suspension, Moore is not prohibited from engaging in coaching or other athletically related activities during the show cause period. So that's their punishment. Chase, I mean, when you see all that, I mean, I know it's a lot. I mean, do you have any thoughts on that? Do you think it was a lot? Do you think it was strict? Do you think it wasn't enough? What are your initial thoughts on that?
I think it was more of an example. You know, I don't think it was strict enough because their national championship is still in Ann Arbor. You know, they didn't lose that part. 1 game for Sharon Moore, you might as well just take them out to practice. Honestly, that didn't really do much. And then for what makes me laugh about this with Jim Harbaugh, he's never coming back to college football. What does 10 years do? He's probably going to retire by then. And then with Connor Stallions, he's probably going to have to change, like, a job career, because with this lingering on his resume, I don't see him coaching again. So I think Michigan got away from this. And then how much money they're being penalized too, with where NIL is and how much Michigan the brand is, I think they could definitely come back from this. It may not be immediate, but over time they won't really lose a step because Michigan football is back. Even though they've had kind of a down year last year, and ever since, you know, JJ McCarthy went to the NFL, things have kind of been stagnant. But I feel like with the Big Blue, like, they'll get back on their feet. But I just feel like this punishment didn't really do anything. Now, it is a warning for any other team that tries it, like the way Michigan does it, because I feel like they'll put a bigger foot down with it. But I don't know, Christian, I just felt they kind of got by with it, and it's just kind of business as usual with the NCAA.
Yeah, no, I think you make perfect sense, man. And I agree. I feel like I wouldn't necessarily say slap on the wrist, but it doesn't feel like it was as harsh as it really could have been. Again, the background on this whole thing, I mean, this was centered around Connor Stallions, who was listed in here, who was accused of orchestrating that wide-reaching operation, scouting opponents in person. So allegedly, dude was like, you know, taking flights, you know, on location, scouting, you know, signals and opponents and getting as much intel as he could, which obviously that is prohibited under NCAA rules. Now, they did say this, though. Sign stealing during games is legal, right? Which, I mean, I guess makes sense. I mean, if someone's communicating something on the sideline, just like, you know, when we would be playing, I mean, we technically would try to pick up on things. So, like, me as an edge guy, if I'm sitting there, and it would be more like sound cues, right? So, like, if I'm sitting here and the quarterback's over here, he's going rock, rock, rock. And every time he says rock, I notice they're going to, I don't know, they're running to the right, right? We're picking up on that. Then we go to the sidelines and we're going to discuss that. Or if I look over, if I see him, you know, flashing a signal to a receiver and he's like tapping the top of his head And obviously they end up going to fade to that receiver. We know, all right, and they've done that a couple of times. Hey, I'm going to go tell the DBs, hey, every time he's tapping the top of his head, he's signaling that receiver run a fade. Stuff like that. So I guess, yeah, I mean, that's one thing. But sending people out on trips to go literally, I guess, scout these people, yeah, no, can't do that. So, yeah, I'll be honest with you, Chase. I don't know, man. I feel like it was just kind of, I don't know. I feel like it could have been more. Dr. Crystal says, so basically go to your room and play with your toys. This is a joke. Mike says, no one's afraid of the NCAA anymore. I mean, that's kind of what it feels like, right? I mean, my thing is, I'm wondering this. I mean, could they have technically taken back that national championship, right? I mean, we've seen them do that in the past with other things. I mean, did they not feel like that was maybe something to put on the table? Did they even have it on the table, or did they and they just chose not to? That's what I'm curious about, Chase, because correct me if I'm wrong, but this stuff was taking place around that time, wasn't it? Like when they, around the time of them winning national championship, was it?
I believe so.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. Cause right here it says, on this other post, despite capturing the 2023 national championship after his resignation. So technically it was after, but I think it was like the year prior that this was going, but still really close in time. I don't know, man. I don't know. To me, like the fine stuff, they'll get over the fine stuff. Like, and that to me is really a big, really, if you look at it, I think what it boils down to, you got a bunch of fines and you got show causes for these coaches, which Connor Stallions, I don't even know how much of a coach he really, well, I mean, what was his role? I don't even think he was like a big role. So, I mean, sucks for him, but he completely deserves it, earned it. But how does that really affect, Michigan doesn't care about that guy. He was a pawn. Jim Harbaugh, he's off to the league. Yeah, like you said, he's not returning anytime soon, but he's in the NFL. And I'm sure he's probably, he won him a championship in college. I mean, I'm sure he's chilling as long as he can, you know, stay coaching the league. Now, if something happens there, he can't really return to college. But again, I mean, he's kind of on to bigger and better things. And then the Sharon Moore thing, I mean, 2 year show cause order, but 3 games total. I mean, yeah, I'll be honest, man. Doesn't really seem like it was taking, I wouldn't say like taking very serious. Maybe they just thought the money side of things would hit hard. But to me, I don't think it was enough. I think they deserved more. I mean, does this actually prohibit other teams from really going? Obviously, I don't think people straight up go out there and do what they did. I mean, that would just be stupid. But I just don't know if it was enough to even kind of send a message. But I think I agree with Mike. I think at this point, people kind of just look at the NCAA as a joke. You know, I mean, and it's probably almost like, well, how much say do they really even have in all this stuff? You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. Like 25% reduction in football official visits, they'll find ways around that. I don't think that's going to really be anything crazy. The 14-week prohibition on recruiting, I mean, like, bro, I mean, they'll survive all of that. I mean, like the money stuff, again, I mean, you can always come back for money. So personally, my take is I think it was weak. That's my take. Curious to see what you guys think on it. 205-342-9904 is the number. We're going to go ahead and hit a timeout. We come back. We're going to go to the phone lines, and then we'll dive into a little bit more Alabama talk, because I definitely want to talk about the scrimmage coming up tomorrow, what we're expecting from that, or what we want to look out for in that. But you guys know the drill, man. When you guys are ready to talk, we're going to. We already got a couple folks lined up, so that's what we'll do when we come back after this quick timeout on this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We'll be right back.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating
patients from every generation,
across the United States,
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers,
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers,
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors,
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation...
29. That's 800-923-6829. Call CarShield now and future-proof your ride. 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. Chase, I was on Twitter real quick to see if any big news had popped up. And why is Drewski on First Take this morning talking football? I mean, like, I feel like Drewski does all these side quests. And if you guys don't know who Drewski is, he's like an internet comedian, internet personality, but it's the most random thing. Because, like, I've seen him on like a Fox News like panel talking about the stock market. He had posted a video like, I don't know why these people ask him to do this stuff because he's so unserious. And he's literally sitting next to Stephen A. on First Take this morning talking about Shadur after his first preseason game, man. I don't know how he gets these gigs, but hey, man, shout out to Drewski. That's just so random. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Ragged Glory up first. Ragged, welcome in.
Hey, good morning, Christian. Thanks for taking my call, you guys.
Oh,
you know,
of course,
it's been a minute. I want to tell you right now, you're doing a great job with your show. I just want you to know that, okay?
Thank you so much.
All your comments. I love your dad and everything you guys interject. But I'm going to comment on this whole thing coming down with Michigan. If all this is holding water, And these are the penalties and fines and all this kind of stuff, I'm going to be totally honest with you. This is not just a carpenter's hammer. It should be a dadgum wrecking ball.
Mm.
Now, I lived through a time where when I was living in Southern California and the Trojans, USC Trojans, were my team, they got sanctioned. They couldn't even go to a bowl game. So I'm thinking this whole thing is a little bit too light of a punishment on the University of Michigan. And Jim Harbaugh is directly involved, and I hope it resonates over into his butt where he carries his wallet and happens because of Jim Harbaugh, I cannot root for my Los Angeles Chargers. I still call them San Diego because I go way back. And no, I can't even root for them this year. So I still think this is just a pasty way and a slap on the hands, but I wouldn't allow Michigan to play for any bowl game at all. Hairball. Yeah. Hairball. Left. Because he saw this coming down the track. And I'll tell you, I just hope it comes for him to pay the price. Honestly.
Yeah.
That's really all I got to say about this. I'm very passionate about football, college, and the NFL.
I agree with you, Raggy. I just saw this too, and this had come up, and I think QD had asked this in the chat or mentioned this about the postseason ban, like they didn't have anything like that. But allegedly, this is On Three reporting, this is why they did not give Michigan a postseason ban. Allegedly, the panel determined that a postseason ban would unfairly penalize student athletes for the actions of coaches and staff who are no longer associated with the Michigan football program. So that is their reasoning, I guess, for not presenting a postseason ban, because they didn't want to punish the athletes. So they felt the fines and the show causes more directly punished the people actually involved. And they didn't want too many of those punishments to fall on the student athletes themselves, which I get that point. But at the same time, I feel like it would have send a stronger signal if they did the postseason ban, because that really hits home. And I think a lot of people, I guess you shouldn't punish the fan base either. It's not their fault. But so I kind of understand where they're coming from, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing about the Wrecking Ball. But how many of these athletes are still on the team? You know what I mean? And they were all a part of this. So, you know what? Reduce their pay for play. Now, enter the portal. Get out of there. No, this university needs to be punished. And I'm sorry. It's a wrecking ball, not a sledgehammer or a carpenter's hammer.
That's fair. Yeah. And I think a lot of people share that opinion, Ragged, that it wasn't enough. But they made their decision. It is what it is. I think at this point, we just got to move forward. But I'm just surprised. Shoot, I'm shocked they didn't mention the national championship, man. I'm surprised they didn't try to go after that. But like I said, I guess it is what it is, man. At this point, I just roll with it, man. They chose what they chose, and that's what it's going to be.
Yeah. Who would they have given the national championship to? Or is that just a null and void topic, Oh, well, it's up for grabs.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And that's the thing. That kind of punishes the players that did win that as well, that weren't involved. And you're right. I mean, to me, anytime they took away a national championship, like, for instance, like something like if it was like a Reggie Bush type situation and they take away games or whatever, in my opinion, I do understand how that's like, if you're taking that away from the other guys that had nothing to do with receiving this or that. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's a perfect answer for this. Does this feel light? Yes. But like I said, you got to accept what they decided to go with.
Resonates inside Jim Harbaugh's butt. Oops. Did I say that on the air?
Oh, wow.
Oh, sorry.
Mr. Khaki Pants. Oh, man. Hey, he's forgot about it now. He's off in L.A.
He
care less. And he walked away with the national championship. He walked away with the national championship, and he's off at LA coaching the NFL. So,
yeah, I know, right? And I can't even root for my Chargers, even though I love Justin Herbert. Oh, my goodness gracious. So, now he's also got Najee, which I have a problem with. And now I got Harbaugh coaching. And I'm like, Justin. Get your agent on the line, man.
You might need to find a new team. It might be time to find a new team, Ragged.
Oh, I'm a diehard, always will be, 49ers and San Diego Chargers. I go all the way back to John Adel and Lance Alt, man.
Wow.
So, yeah, I went through all the... Oh, yeah.
Dang.
Air Coryell, do you remember that? Have you ever heard of that term? Dan Fouts. Kellen Winslow, the longest game in NFL history with the Miami Dolphins. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, I got a little something about something there, but, man, I can't pull from my Chargers this year because I do not like Jim Harbaugh, period.
I understand, man. That's a tough spot to be in. I get it.
I had to go back to my Bay Area favorites. I got to go with Pete Carroll and the Raiders for the AFL on the West Coast. Yeah,
I like Pete Carroll, man. He seems like a great guy.
I've never really been
around him, but he seems like a good guy.
Yep, he had to get out of USC because of something that went on. He said, you know what? I ain't going to deal with this. This is all on you. Goodbye. And went to Seattle. And look what he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he kind of was in the similar spot.
He didn't do anything wrong. But, yeah, I mean, USC, it was something behind the scenes that went on. And, man, they got sanctioned hard.
But he was there when that happened, right? That was his time at USC, right?
It happened afterwards. I mean, he lost to Texas at the Rose Bowl for the championship, and that, hey, Digger, that's the only time you guys can even claim a national championship. But you know what he said? I can't deal with this. You know, even Nick Saban, man. He saw this thing coming down the pack with the NIL and everything. He goes, man, I just don't want to deal with this anymore. And there it is there.
Yeah, I want to say Pete Carroll was involved in that deal, but I think he left before the sanctions came or something like that. But I don't know. But, I'm reading somebody's tweet. It says, USC was punished for 7 years, a two-year bowl ban, 30 revoked scholarships, 14 vacated wins, one vacated title, one vacated Heisman, and the end of a dynasty because Reggie Bush's parents leased a house they found from a wannabe NFL agent. So if that's the deal, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, that's kind of insane that Michigan only got what they got and USC got hit that hard. Paying a guy or I guess, you know, leasing a house or something like that versus a team literally going out and performing acts to get a competitive advantage and just cheat, right? I mean, you know, giving a guy some money or a house, whatever, is one thing, but literally cheating that is helping you win football games. Nah, man, I'm not going to lie. I just got reminded of I forgot how much USC really got hit with. But now I'm like, it honestly is laughable what Michigan got hit with. It's a joke.
No, see, and you know, why can't that wrecking ball crush that campus? I don't know.
Now that I see that, it
is what it is, and we got to live with it, you know?
Exactly. I mean, it's like on one hand, like I understand not wanting to penalize the players that weren't involved because it was coaches doing it and they didn't probably have an idea or they weren't involved, but on the other hand, it's like that. Wow. How do you go from what you did to USC for something way less? And then now, I mean, this is a joke. I get it now. Sorry. At first, guys, I was like, I mean, they hit them with show causes and this and that. But I was like, I didn't seem that bad. But now comparing it to USC, oh, no. No, that's laughable. That's laughable, man.
Christian, thank you so much. I appreciate you letting me try to get my point out, man. I'm frustrated, but. It's okay. You know, roll, tide, roll. And we're going to go undefeated. Believe.
Oh. wait, ragged. I told you the rule is if you guys throw that out there, you got to give me reasons. Give me reasons now. Give me reasons. Talk to me.
It's called believe. Mindset. You look at your opponent. You know what they're going to do. You go and attack. If something's not working, change it up. It's
Wait,
good.
How do you know what they're going we're to gonna do? Though? Are you saying that we're pulling a Michigan? We're taking signals?
No. We don't have to do that kind of stuff because we are going to bring the wrecking ball. We may have some close games. I'll give that because the competition in the SEC is enough. But every game, understand who you're playing. How to attack them if something's not working, change it up. There's a plan A, of course, your starters. There's a B and a C. Don't let them stagnate you. That's how we're going to win, and we're going to go all the way.
Hey, I'll take it, man. You gave me a reason. That's all I can ask for. I appreciate that, Reagan. You have a great weekend.
When you play the game of football, you believe. I've been there, done it. So.
That's right. Thank you, Rag. We appreciate you, buddy.
You got to love it. Guys, have a great weekend. All of you.
Yeah, thank you. You too, man. Good deal. All right, we got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling. We got others lined up on the phone lines. We'll keep talking about this. Plus, we definitely will dive into some Alabama talk, like I mentioned. Scrimmage number two taking place tomorrow. You got your starter named. Got a competition for a quarterback two spot. Who is that going to be? That is something to pay attention to. That's a big deal, right? Don't lose sight of that. I know we got all the attention on Ty right now being the starter, but backup job is important. You never know what can happen or when your number is going to be called. So we'll talk a little bit more about what to expect for scrimmage number two coming up right here on this Free-for-All Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, it's Gary Harris. Monday morning at 9 a.m., we're going to recap the weekend, including Alabama's Saturday football scrimmage with Rodney Orr from TiderInsider.com, plus Casey Smith on golf, and we'll continue our high school football previews and, of course, your phone calls as well. That's Monday morning at 9 a.m.
Catch the Gary Harris Show Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. on Tide 100.9 and Tide100.9.com.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama.
We are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at AndrewSportsMedicine.com.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department.
With more than 60 pre-owned vehicles available, visit them at 3200 Skyland Boulevard East, Tuscaloosa, or check out their inventory online at MercedesOfTuscaloosa.com.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, we just got done talking to Ragged, and let's go back to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We've got Pat up next. Pat, welcome in.
Hey, man. I'm getting concerned. I'm hearing all these talking heads and stuff talking about Alabama's defense can't stop water through a paper bag. When you told a lie often enough, it goes all the way back to Joseph Goebbels, I think, with Hitler. that you told a lie often enough to the masses, pretty soon they start to believe it. That is this defense going to wake up and be just bad to the bone? What's your impression? I know you've watched them some, Christian.
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. Look, I wouldn't jump to too much based off what you've heard, or you know, basically because this is, we only had one scrimmage, right? And I know it's easy for you know people to, because I mean, look, there's people out there, they had former players out there. I'm sure people have been talking, just like you know, people breaking down what Coach DeBoer said, and I think it was evident that you know initially you know defense kind of had to get you know get their stuff together, you know. Offense kind of jumped on them a little bit earlier on, and they, you know, kind of found their groove as it went on. But that's not the first time I've seen that. As a matter of fact, I mean, I remember last year, it was kind of like that at one point. I can't remember if it was a spring or fall camp, but I remember watching. I was like, dang, man, defense kind of, you know, we're struggling right now. Then we kind of found our groove and found our niche. But I would say this, Pat, in terms of just my overall impressions, I think they're going to be all right. I mean, you've got a lot of guys to work with. I think when you look at, you know, from, you know, front to back, you know, back to front, I mean, there's a lot of guys, a lot of reasons to be excited. I think the biggest thing with this defense is, you know, they're having to, you know, you bring back a lot of starters, but at the same time, you know, I'm sure it's going to feel a little bit different, even with those new guys. We've heard Kane Womack talking about, you know, wanting to do things a little bit different. So, look, I mean, you look at scrimmage number one, it could have been, you know, they're implementing a lot of new things and they're trying to kind of, you know, see what works, see what doesn't. So I think they just need some time. But to me, I'm not overly concerned. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I just look at what they did last year. The guys coming back, I think once they kind of just, you know, settle in, kind of get, you know, get up to speed with the install, I think it'll start coming. I just know in training camp, you know, there's a lot thrown at you, especially like the first part and that first scrimmage kind of comes quick. Normally, you know, the second scrimmage, you kind of, you see a good response. If you have a unit that does kind of, you know, struggle a little bit in that first one, they normally respond pretty well. So that's what I'm anticipating. I anticipate them to respond a little bit better in the second scrimmage. And I think they'll just keep getting better and better as, you know, the course of the year goes on. But I wouldn't worry too much, Pat. Like, are there some question marks for me still? Yeah, I mean, I still want more guys to step up with pass rush. I still want more consistency stopping the run. But I think those things should come along. Will we have just those elite guys that, you know, I feel good about just going and getting after it on third down? I'm not sure. Still, you know, to be determined. I mean, I trust LT. I trust Quay. But there's not a whole bunch. I mean, Jordan Renan, I think, can make some stuff happen. But outside of them, man, it's kind of, I don't know. But I do know there's also the, you know, the opportunity to buy committee approach, and whether that's calling pressures or just mixing things up, stunts, stuff like that. I think we'll see a number of things called and just to find ways to be effective. And I think that's what you just got to wait and see kind of how it ends up playing out. But I'm not concerned, Pat.
All right. So do you think that it's possible that this offensive line is starting to gel more and quicker than what we thought they would? I mean, so the potential of the players are there. The ability seems to be there. And that, I thoroughly believe that Ty, as far as a short yardage quarterback, is superior to what we had last year. Jalen was a great long ball thrower. I'm talking a great long ball thrower. But every game that I watched, our short yardage passing left a lot to be desired. What do you think?
Yeah, I think when you look, number one, the first thing you mentioned, offensive line. I do believe when you watch the scrimmages, you have to kind of, you know, determine, right? Like, all right, you know, did our defensive line just struggle in pass rush? Did our offensive line really just play really well? And I think I would say this. Not even just the last scrimmage, but just overall through camp, man. The offensive line has looked solid, and I'm not gonna lie, that to me is really encouraging. So to answer your question, yes, I think this offensive line unit has taken some really nice strides, and I think they're playing some really good football, and they're trending in the direction that you would want them to be trending. Especially given the last few years, we haven't really had that same dominant level of play from our offensive line unit. In terms of the second part with some of just like short intermediate stuff, could there be more consistency there with Ty? Yeah, I mean, I think so. Maybe he, you know, is a little bit more consistent in that area. But I still think, you know, for all those things to just be as smooth as possible, you still need all the other 10 guys doing their job as well. Because I believe Jalen can make those throws as well. I mean, we just watched him in that game with Seattle and he was hitting all the short and intermediate routes. I mean, I used to watch him last year do the same thing. I mean, again, I mean, consistency, yeah, that was something they needed to work on. But I do know even making those throws, which are normally easier throws, when you have pressure in your face, when you, you know, have a number of things, maybe a route not being perfect, it's not always going to be as easy as it should be. That being said, I do think Ty is comfortable doing all that stuff. I know he's capable of doing it. I've seen him do it. You add to that the offensive line performing better, receiver room even better. I think you will see, without a doubt, an increase in the passing game. But I just want to remind people, it's not only just because of one factor being the change at quarterback. I think a number of things have been elevated or and will be better. And I think that also contributes to why the passing game will be better this upcoming season.
Gotcha. Hey, I appreciate you taking my call, sir. Have a blessed weekend. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, Pat. Thank you, man. You too, man. Thank you for calling. Good deal. But no, he's got a great point. But here's the thing, you know, Jalen, Ty, and I know so many comparisons and stuff, but Ty definitely is more of a fit for, you know, an offense like Kalen DeBoer wants to run. Like there's no denying that. But I do think like the efficacy and everything will be improved. But again, not just because of one guy, but I genuinely believe when you look at not even just last year, the last couple of years, man, there's just a number of things that we weren't doing at as high as a level as we needed to be doing. And that makes guys' jobs harder. But right now, I just think the overall offense, right? I think Ty looks good. I think the offensive line's playing better. The running back room, they're having a strong camp. Obviously, the receiver room looks really strong. I think it's no different than any other thing, right? I mean, when you have a number of things working together, right? If you have one bad thing, that's one thing. But then when you have multiple things that just aren't firing on all cylinders, right? You're not going to get the highest performance possible. Even if you had the main component being perfect, if the things around that main component, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I always go to car analogies, but like an engine, right? Like, if you have little things around the engine that aren't strong, then it's not going to run at its highest performance. So I don't know. Try to look at it like that, if that makes sense. I don't know. Maybe it's just me and that's how I think. That being said, we got to hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we keep on rolling on this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide under 0.9, 1230. WTBC, quick timeout. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles,
Week two of the NFL preseason continues on Friday night. First, the Titans will be taking on the Falcons with kickoff at 7 Eastern. Then the Chiefs will be taking on the Seahawks in Seattle. Kickoff is at 10 Eastern. In baseball, Gleyber Torres with a sac fly in the 11th inning as the Tigers held on 4-3 against the Twins. Ozzie Albies had 3 RBI as the Braves edged the Mets 4-3. New York is 1-9 in their last 10 games. And the Reds are now a half game back on the Mets for the final walk card spot in the National League. The Guardians defeated the Marlins 9-4. Cleveland is now a half game back on the Yankees for the final wild card spot in the AL. Diamondbacks outscored the Rockies 8-2, and the Nationals handed the Phillies their third straight loss, coming out on top 3-2. Phillies plan to utilize a 6-man rotation beginning this weekend when Aaron Nola returns from the injured list. He hasn't pitched in the majors since May 14th.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny this afternoon. A few spots could see a shower or a storm through the evening hours. The high today, 92. Tonight's low, 74. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny with only isolated thunderstorms around. The high, 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 89 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Golly, man. I was on mute. Whoops. Sorry about that. Welcome back in to the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hour number two on the way. Dang, I'm normally great about that. I normally never leave myself on mute. I've done it twice now today. Sorry. Maybe it's the new layout, man. We're getting used to the new layout here on the YouTube stream. Again, we are streaming live on YouTube and the Tide Facebook page as well if you guys want to watch me do the show. And fresh new layout, thanks to Daryl and his comment last night. So if you guys want to check it out, man, please do. Completely free to do so. All we do is ask you guys, drop a like, subscribe, and that keeps everything free. That being said, all right, let's roll into hour number two. We talked a little bit about the Michigan punishment. If you guys are just joining in again, the big news came out, 4 years probation, big fines across the board, you know, fines and limits on recruiting spending, you know, cuts to that. Connor Stallions, Jim Harbaugh, Denard Robinson all hit with show cause orders from 8 to 10 to 3 years. And then Sharon Moore, like a 3-game suspension. So most people, I think, agree that this is pretty much a slap on the wrist, especially when you look back like we just did and see that Southern Cal, I mean, they got hit with 7 years, bowl bans, 30 scholarships revoked, 14 wins vacated, a title vacated, a Heisman vacated. And this team that also doesn't want a national championship didn't have that touched, and all it really was the money. And the reasoning is allegedly because, oh, we don't want to punish the guys who weren't involved, right? Which, again, I understand that, but that should have been the case from the get-go if that's really how you felt, especially with, like, Southern Cal. One guy, I guess, was involved in receiving some improper benefits, money, whatever the case, or house lease, whatever. But you punished everybody and everybody for years to come, but had nothing to do about it. So, or nothing to do with it, excuse me. So, I don't know. But that was Michigan's punishment. We heard from that. And I don't know. You guys can still let me know what you guys think on that if you haven't already chimed in on that. Scrimmage number two comes tomorrow here in Tuscaloosa Bryant-Denny Stadium. Again, Ty Simpson starting quarterback. Obviously, we already know that. So you can check that off the list. I mean, the quarterback battle technically has come to an end, but not really because you still have to determine who quarterback two will be, you know, the backup to Ty. very important position, right? I mean, I know a lot of people kind of overlook it, but you got to remember, I mean, you never know. Football, they always say injury risk is 100%. Obviously, I'm going to knock on my wooden desk right here. You don't want to talk like that, but you just never know. And you always need to have, you know, security at that spot. The good news is these guys have all performed very well throughout fall camp, right? From Ty to Austin Mack to Keelan Russell. And so with those two guys competing for that number two spot, I'll be honest with you, Chase, I don't think you really can go wrong. I said earlier in the show, I really feel like it just boils down to, you know, who you feel the most confident with. If they need to go in there and keep you alive, help you win a football game, who's that going to be, right? And normally that comes down to trust. A lot of times backup quarterbacks might not be like the, you know, best player or whatever, so to speak. Obviously, you know, they're a good player. You get what I'm saying, though, Chase? Like, but you trust them to come in and keep you afloat. You get what I'm saying? And when you look at this situation, I think that's something that's going to be considered because you got Keelan Russell, who you know is extremely talented, but he's still coming along, right? I mean, the guy is just fresh out of high school just a few months ago. He's still learning the system. He's still getting adapted to the game speed, all that stuff that comes with it, being fresh on campus. I understand that whole 100% understand that. Takes some time, right? And he's making great strides. I mean, I feel like I've noticed some strides from watching him in the spring to now. But still, are those strides enough to say, hey, if we need you to go in week two, right, and play a whole half, or you know, it could be two games while somebody's, you know what I mean? Like, is he ready enough to do that? I think that's what they're going to be looking out for. If I'm being completely honest with you, Chase, I think somebody asked, like, who I thought will be. I probably would. This is a tricky part because I feel like based off what I've seen, and even if you just listen to how they talk, Austin Mack is definitely a little bit ahead of Keelan Russell, which makes you think the easy answer would just be he should be and probably will be the backup quarterback, at least initially. The problem is you're talking about a five-star quarterback recruit that you brought in. You want to make sure you're not necessarily stepping on toes, which I don't think that should not be the main factor by any means. But at the same time, it's kind of like we know how this game kind of works, right? And that's probably the tricky part, is trying to balance those two things. But I'll be honest with you. I mean, I feel good about either one of them, if I'm being honest. And to be fair, say you do go ahead and you roll with Keelan to be the backup. Hopefully, you don't really even need him. And in that time, he's just developing. By let's say, for whatever reason, you needed him week six or seven. By then, you're like, okay, cool. Maybe what it could work out as, and this is how I probably think like the most likely scenario would be. Initially, I think they're going to list them as like or, because they do that a lot on depth charts. When they can't really have like a definitive answer, they normally say or. If I had to guess, the depth chart would probably say Austin Mack or Keelan Russell. So they're kind of like co-backups. But it's really going to lean towards Austin, at least in the initial part of the season. And then say as Keelan develops and they feel more confident and comfortable with him, maybe he slides into that more solidified backup role. But I think initially you'll see an or like the split, but it's really going to kind of lean a little bit more. Like if they really need somebody to go into like week one or week two, I think Austin Mack probably would be, the first guy in there behind Ty, at least for the first part of the season. That's just my, I guess, thought process on it. That's how I feel like it's going to be. I don't know that to be true, but if what you guys did ask me, that's my thought on it. That's how I feel. Dwight asked if I was going to the scrimmage tomorrow. Probably, we'll see. Still trying to figure that out. I'm kind of on the fence. I want to go, but part of me is kind of like, I might just pass. We'll see. I don't know, because I think it's in the afternoon tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. I got to pull out a schedule, but I don't know. I feel like it might be a little bit more in the afternoon, so we'll see. But more than likely, I'll probably swing by over there. LK says, so much turnover in year one. The players on this team are 100% in for the staff. I'm impressed Bama had zero hit the portal. That tells me KD has total respect with his players. Yeah, no, I think we've talked about this, LK. But it's definitely obviously the buy-in is much higher this year, which makes total sense. Again, I mean, as a player myself, I've dealt with new coaches, not a new head coach, which is even more of a deal. But anytime you get new coaches, man, you got to feel them out, right? Because new coaches bring on new philosophy. They teach you things differently, especially if you really were rocking with your old coach. I mean, you got to feel it out. And I think people, as much as they like Coach DeBoer, because, I mean, I don't know how you wouldn't like him. I mean, he's probably the most down-to-earth guys I've ever met. But at the same time, in terms of, you know, like these guys, like they want to play at the highest level. They want to compete. They want to go to the league. And when you're looking at this guy like, okay, he's kind of like helping me do that, like you want to make sure you can trust him and his process. And I think it's very natural for guys to be just a little, you know, not hesitant, but just kind of take their time a little bit, right? And I think going into year two, these guys understand what, you know, what the process looks like, why they're doing certain things. And I think that definitely will have a great effect on this upcoming season. And I agree with you. It was very impressive that nobody hit the transfer portal, especially given the number of guys that we had at certain positions, man. I mean, a lot of these guys could easily went to the portal and made money, but they chose not to. So I definitely think that's a strong sign of the culture. That's the word that I would use, the culture that Kalen DeBoer is establishing here in Tuscaloosa. These guys want to play for him. They want to play with each other. They enjoy it. They're getting after it. They trust in him and his process. And those are all good signs. Those are all it's a recipe for success, man, when it comes to playing football. So I agree with you there. All right, let's do this. Let's hit our first timeout of hour number two. We come back and go back to the phone lines. I believe we have Ellis up next. We'll go to him. We'll talk with him, and we'll keep on rolling on this free for all Friday. We get ready for scrimmage number two that takes place tomorrow. And I'm looking forward to that, seeing how that turns out. And obviously, we will keep you guys posted. So quick timeout. We'll be right back right here on the Miller's Edge of Taiwan.
It's quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to mylocalcustomers.com today.
That's mylocalcustomers.com. Mylocalcustomers.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partially sunny this afternoon. A few spots could see a shower or storm through the evening hours. The high today 92, tonight's low 74. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny with only isolated thunderstorms around. The high 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 90 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. But real quick, don't forget, we will be live at 1225 Fridays this football season, doing the show live again. So make sure you guys kick off game day week in the right way with us at 1225. Really easy to remember, 1225 on 1225 University Boulevard on the Strip. You can't miss it, right near the stadium, walking distance, all that stuff. TVs throughout, great food, burgers, wings, pizza, all that type of food, man. They've got it for you. Great drinks and great time, man. Because again, hang out with me doing the show, and really looking forward to doing it again. We did it last year. It was great turnout, especially as the season went on, man. It kept getting better and better, and we're looking forward to running it back again this year. So make sure you guys come hang out with us, and always head on over to 1225 if you're ever looking for a place to watch games. Again, TVs throughout, great food, a lot of people. It's very popular game day weekends for sure, man. People love going and sitting in there eating and watching all the sport events on all the TV. So check it out, man. Again, 1225, right there on 1225 University Boulevard. I got this pulled up real quick. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Chase, this was interesting. This was from last night. I was trying to zoom in, but that didn't work. So I know it's hard to read. And for our radio listeners, what we're looking at is it's a statement. And it comes from former Alabama wide receiver Isaiah Bond. I don't know if you guys remember this, but he actually had found himself in some legal trouble. I think he was accused of assault, SA, down in Texas. And obviously, you know, it derailed everything from in terms of, you know, the whole draft process and whatnot. So he went undrafted, and he was, I guess, dealing with that situation, which again, if he did that or whatever, rightfully so, he needs to still deal with it. But allegedly, this is what he released yesterday. It says, first and foremost, I want to express my deepest gratitude to the Cleveland Browns. You get where this is going. For believing in me and allowing me the opportunity to continue my career in the NFL. Football has been my passion since I was 6 years old. And playing at this level is a blessing I will never take for granted. I understand that playing in the NFL is a privilege. And I'm thankful every day to live my childhood dream. I know there have been questions and reports about recent allegations. I am grateful for the decision of the prosecutor and the courts not to pursue charges. I will learn from this experience as I grow in wisdom, character, and faith. On the advice of my attorney, I will not discuss the details of this case, but I want to be clear from the beginning. I have refuted these allegations and maintained my innocence. I stand firm by that today. I want to sincerely thank the Cleveland Browns, specifically Mr. Haslam and Mr. Berry, for giving me this opportunity. My agent, Damian Butler, and CMV sports staff for standing beside me every step of the way, never wavering and working to resolve this matter. My attorneys, Toby Shook and Kristen Moore, for their relentless pursuit of the truth. My trainer, going on to thank other people. My focus now is football, learning this offense, building strong relationships with my teammates, and making significant contributions within the Cleveland community. I'm determined to prove to the Browns organization and everyone who believes in me right for putting their trust in me. Thank you, IB. So that was posted on the Twitter of Isaiah Bond. So if you guys are kind of wondering the update with that thing, I guess, with that case, allegedly the prosecutor decided not to pursue charges. So look, I'll just say this, man. Always first and foremost, I mean, make smart decisions. Don't put yourself in bad situations. Now, I don't know the details of everything. I just remember the initial details, what I read. There was text messages released. I'm gonna be completely honest with you. To me, from the text messages, I mean, it looked almost as if, because one of his responses was almost like, if I remember correctly, like offering to pay the young lady involved in the situation. It almost was borderline self-incriminating what he was basically saying in the text messages. How they got to the point where they decided not to prosecute or press charges, I don't know. Again, I don't like speaking on stuff that I don't really know too many details. I just remember the initial things that had come out. But at the end of the day, if they dropped the charges, I don't think that necessarily means he was proven innocent, but maybe they didn't have enough. I don't know. But I know a lot of people are kind of curious about that whole situation. So he ends up getting an opportunity with the Browns. But I think the moral of the story is, number one, need to make smart decisions, right? And then stay out of trouble. And two, I mean, I just don't understand, man. Like, people have all this stuff going for them, man, and they just can't help but put themselves in dumb situations that are completely avoidable. But nonetheless, that's the update to the story. And there's that. So Isaiah Bond is the newest member of the Cleveland Browns, which, interesting enough, I mean, if any team's going to take a shot on a second chance guy, Chase, it would be the Browns. They have who else on their roster? What was it? Kareem Hunt, I think, was back and forth on their roster, and we know he was involved in some legal stuff. Their running back that they drafted from was it Ohio State? Was it Quinshon Judkins? I'm pretty sure, dealing with some legal stuff currently, and I want to say there might even be one more guy. So they obviously believe in second chances, but anyway, Isaiah Bond is getting his shot at the NFL. Will he make the roster? I have no idea. I know he's a talented player. Didn't really perform up to expectations when he transferred to Texas. I do know he's still a really good football player, but you getting signed to a team at this point in training camp, I'm going to be honest with you, not looking too great. But at least he's getting an opportunity, if he is, in fact, cleared of doing any wrongdoing, but we'll see. I just think it's kind of a long shot, but there you have it. That being said, let's go back to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Ellis up next. Ellis, welcome in. Ellis, you there? Going once, going twice. All right, he might have dropped. Ellis, you want to circle back, man, you know the drill. Chase, I know it's kind of awkward, but in terms of that whole deal, I mean, were you aware of kind of the whole situation surrounding Isaiah Bond? Did that, do you remember the whole deal? I think we talked about it briefly a few months ago.
A little bit. I'll give shout out to Tia. She definitely kind of informed me on Twitter kind of what was going on behind the scenes and everything. It's unfortunate. It's just crazy how many times this is happening to athletes. It is a sticky situation, so I'm trying to tread lightly, but, you know.
And I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, you're good, Christian. You're good. You're fine.
That's why even when I was talking about, I'm like, well, I don't really know how to, because, like you said, it's sticky because I do firmly believe innocent until proven guilty. You know what I mean? Like, so I want to give everybody their fair chance to, to prove their innocence, you know, let them, you know, share their side. I mean, there's so many different situations where, you know, a lot of times, more than likely, you know, that someone is guilty of wrongdoing, but we do know there are instances where people are falsely accused of things. But I think, and again, I know it's tricky, and I don't want to get too much into it, but from what I remember, the text message, like, that were released did somewhat, in my opinion, I guess, quote unquote, incriminate him into an extent, because he basically acknowledged that, golly, man, really treading lightly here. Obviously, one person, you know, ended up having a change of opinion on some or change of mind on something, and he didn't necessarily respect that change of opinion in the moment, allegedly. That's what it kind of was reading in the text messages. And he even offered to send money. It's kind of like an apology or something like that. So if I'm just being completely honest with you, I mean, like, reading that part of it, to me, I was kind of like, that says what it says, man. I mean, that's, you know what I mean? I don't know how you really deny that. But if the court and the prosecutor decide not to press charges, I don't know. Maybe the other person involved went back and I don't know. Who knows? I'll be honest. I really don't know. It's very sticky. Very sticky situation. I'm sorry, Chase. I cut you off.
No, you're all good. But I guess, just a life lesson too, you know, just be careful what you get into, man. You just never know kind of what can pop up, you know, and just for Isaiah, this might be his second chance, you know, because you said and what happened at Texas, you know, he didn't have that breakout year. He was kind of under the radar, you know, didn't really perform to, you know, what Alabama fans are, what they were seeing when he was at UA. But, you know, and you're right, it is the team. Cleveland Browns is the team from the get picked up. I remember a guy like Josh Gordon, you know, he had his problems on and off the field. You know, Johnny Manziel. You know, there's so many players that kind of got their footing in the door. And then when they left the Browns, they kind of found it a little bit more and got it back together. But, you know, if Isaiah is serious, you know, he'll change for the better, you know, and the time is limited. Because you are in the preseason, and the preseason goes really quickly. But, you know, if he can kind of channel that UA bond, I think he can make the roster. But, you know, it's just, like I said, it is a sticky situation. And, you know, but it's just the world we live in. You know, it's just how we have to navigate it all.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate you, Shay. Like I said, I know it's kind of tough. You hear me, I'm literally speaking like at 0.5, because I'm like, man, we're on live radio, yeah. And obviously, I mean, he's got to be careful. But here is one thing to consider too, though. I didn't initially see this. He is subject to the terms of the NFL's personal conduct policy, which means he still can be suspended. So even though he might have cleared himself in the court of law, which really is the most important thing, because I mean they needed to establish if he really was guilty or not, or had wrongdoing or enough to proceed with charges. But the next step is with the NFL. They do have the decision to, I guess, suspend him or punish him for that, which is kind of interesting how that works. Because if it's like, if you've been cleared in the court of law, typically you would think that that wouldn't. But I guess the NFL, they're their own entity. They can go about it however way. Because, again, I do want to be clear. I mean, just because they said they choose not to pursue charges doesn't necessarily mean they didn't feel that, you know, there was any type of wrongdoing there. They might not have just had enough to proceed with. So that's why I wish I had more details in that aspect, because I'm just curious what led them to do that. Because, again, I'm not going to lie to you, Chase. When I read those initial text messages, again, if someone accuses you of something and a text message comes out and you like you say, I apologize, and you try to send them money, I mean, that to me, like, it kind of, would you agree that kind of just, I'm not saying it means you're guilty, but it kind of, like, the writing's kind of on the wall. Don't you get that vibe?
I agree. It's kind of like writing back what happened to a degree. It's kind of like, I don't want to say covering your tracks, but initially, right, it's just like, well, why would he say that? But
right.
Yeah, you're not alone in that one. I was thinking the same thing, Christian.
Yeah. Well, allegedly, this does go on to say the Browns, they spent a lot of time scouting Bond. And if you guys remember, he ended up running, I think, what, like 4.39? I think he said he was going to break the combine record. Didn't come nearly close to doing that. 4.39, while it's fast, it's not anything nearly as fast as like a 4.2 or whatever the new record was. But they ended up, I guess, liking him enough from that process to, once he was cleared outside of things, they ended up taking a chance on him, which, again, we'll see if it works. I know you feel confident with him maybe making the team if he can play well, Chase, but I'll be honest with you, man, like, getting on board right now, I mean, they're gearing up to play their second preseason game. Preseason's, I mean, flying by. I mean, it's really about to be done before you know it. I mean, I think at best, you can maybe see a practice squad spot, but I'll be completely honest with you. I mean, I even think that's probably a long shot, man. Unless they just have a bunch of injuries or they're in dire need of some weapons and he just shows up and just is on fire, I still think even if he does show up, he's on fire. At best, would be practice squad. And I don't think anybody will even – when they waive him, I don't think anybody's probably going to pick him up on waivers. So Cleveland probably is his only spot right now. Now, say that does go well, he's got – like, literally, I would say this. He's probably got this one opportunity with Cleveland. And it's going to be obviously trying to make their team, but also maybe for this year, kind of prove himself as well. Because we do know, like you mentioned, Josh Gordon, some of these other guys, like if a player is good enough, if the dust settles and they're cleared of stuff, they can get some other opportunities. But he's fighting against the current, man. Undrafted, late into training camp, coming off of this type of stuff. Like the other guy, the Browns, Judkins or whatever, he was a draft pick, a higher draft pick. They're going to be a little bit more lenient with stuff. That's just the way the NFL works. You're an undrafted guy? Y'all always talk about leashes for these quarterbacks, man. If you're an undrafted guy, yeah, that leash, that's a very short leash. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if he gets some action in this game. They do play Philadelphia for the second preseason game Saturday afternoon. Not sure if – I mean, he'll be probably dressed out. I'm not sure if we'll get to really see him, but – I imagine we will, maybe later in the game. Who knows? But keep an eye out for that. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling on this free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9. 12.
Offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Time 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Again, scrimmage number 2 coming up tomorrow, and a lot of people anticipating that. Obviously, already got the news on the quarterback battle, but there's a lot of other battles going on. Backup quarterback spot, people still kind of curious about some of these next guys in. I mean, even at the receiver spot, I mean, you know the top three guys, but who are going to be those next guys on the field? You got a number of options, so people looking out for that. Offensive line play, I mean, I think, you know, you're kind of seeing who's kind of, you know, filling out that first group, and they're playing well, but still could be a little bit of shuffling around. Always a good thing to get guys experience doing some other stuff, so that's something to look at. QD asked about the defensive line. Any concerns there? I wouldn't say, you know, concerns, but I mean, definitely, I think in terms of defense, man, I mean, I think they're the key to the defense this year. I mean, secondary guys, I mean, you feel great about them. Linebacker play is solid. Curious about the depth behind them. I mean, you got a lot of young guys behind the top three guys. So if you do need some of those young guys to step up, definitely, you know, curious about that. But leaves me with the D-line. Would I call it a concern? Not necessarily. I think – when you look at the top guy, like the top group, like you said now, LT, Quay Russo, James Smith, and Tim Keenan. I mean, I think that's one of the better groups in the conference, honestly. I think it's a solid group. The problem is like getting the other guys behind that, right? Because number one, those four guys, they're not going to be the only guys playing. I know we talk about a lot of depth, but there's levels to depth, right? I mean, there's depth. Like, all right, yeah, we got some solid pieces, but like, the depth like we had back in 2016 was literally like, if you go back and look, I mean, literally the three deep all went on to get drafted to play in the NFL. So I'm more concerned about the guys coming in next, right? Like how much can they step up? Like a guy like Beeman, right? A lot of people excited about him, but like, where can we get him to? You know what I mean? Edric Hill, somebody to watch. I heard a lot of, and to me, when you're hearing the coordinator talk about some of the other younger guys, kind of like, well, that's interesting, right? Like, I know everybody's like, well, dang, well, that's good that they got those guys stepped up. But in my head, I'm like, does that mean they're more impressed with those guys developing right now versus the true twos that, you know, are really going to need to step up? But, I mean, like Kelby Collins moving around, seeing kind of where he, you know, fits in. Keon Keeley, we've been talking a lot, but yeah, I wouldn't say concerns, QD, but definitely we need those guys to step up. They've got to step up. Like, they like, I think it's crucial to this defense for those guys up front to play some good football and carve out some roles and be reliable guys. You know what I mean? I think that'll be huge. But speaking about scrimmage number two, I know we're not as concerned about the secondary unit, but Xavien Brown did speak to the media post-practice the other day, and we didn't get to listen to it. And he's a guy that a lot of people are excited about. I mean, I think he's kind of the next guy in line for being, you know, the next, you know, corner coming out of here that, you know, like a Pat Surtain. You know, some of these guys that you just see, they've got that it factor. He reminds me of that. And he got to speak to the media post-practice the other day. So let's see what he had to say.
And so far, camp.
It's been good. The environment, we've been a lot of good work.
Coach Grubb said yesterday that the defense has only made 4 interceptions against the offense in camp. Have you made any?
Yeah, I just had one today. But
had one today, so y'all are up to 5?
We had a couple plays today. You know, we're moving around well out there. But, you know, the offense, they're being real smart with the ball. They know our defense, and we have a lot of good battles out there.
Is that fun when the offense?
Yeah, so it's a chess match really out there. They know us, we know them, and it's just a good back and forth, good work out there.
Going into your second year, how much more comfortable do you feel right now?
I feel real comfortable in the standpoint of, you know, knowing all what's going on around me, coverage wise, and just why we do things and not just that we're doing them.
It's a guy like Cam Calhoun to add to your.
YouTube Premium is ad-free YouTube.
Oops, sorry, guys. Got an ad.
Background play.
Maybe we should get YouTube Premium.
Cam, he's very diverse. He brings high energy, and he's a great guy to be around.
It seems like when people mention Cam's name, everybody has a smile on their face. It's his, like, kind of attitude and demeanor. Is it something you guys kind of enjoy and feed off of?
Yeah, for sure. He brings a lot of energy to the back end, to the defense in general, and he has real high energy.
Can you give an update on what's going on with the Husky position for you guys this week?
For the Husky, like, what
do
you mean?
Who's cross-training that position? Has the starter been decided yet?
Or is it going to be multiple? Our DB room, we're real deep, diverse, a lot of guys moving in and out of positions and just doing whatever we can to just, you know, help us out.
Coach Womack said that you've handled some of those learning curves that come with being a young guy, like a veteran. What are some of the ways maybe that's shown, and maybe what did some of those lessons teach you about playing the game at this level?
I think it just comes down to mindset and being locked in, how focused and intentional you can be, not just on the field, but off the field. You know, we're here all day, how you can maximize your off-field hours to help you on the field.
With the season basically 2 weeks away almost, what's been the biggest area of emphasis on defense in the secondary? Just something Coach Womack is preaching to you guys as kickoffs comes closer.
We're diving real into offensive recognition and just diagnosing plays, allowing us to play faster right now.
You faced Ty Simpson in practice quite a bit. How have you seen him kind of progress? What was it like whenever you guys learned that he was named starter?
Ty's a great dude, man. He's a guy you just want to play harder for. He's a great leader. And, you know, I'm blessed to have him as my quarterback. And he's super smart on the field. And so, you know, when we're out there, like I said earlier, it's a chess match. He's looking at us. We're watching him. It's a good back and forth.
Is that going back to him talking about the interceptions, maybe the quarterbacks and how well they play, pushing you guys to be better as well?
Most definitely. Yeah. When they doing something, we watching them watch us. So it's like we got to make sure our disguise is right, how we doing things, moving in and out of coverages, because they see it all.
How much do you guys relish facing not only them, but those wide receivers in practice every day?
Our wide receivers, they're great. They give us great work. They're super diverse. They each have different strengths. So it at the end of the day, it makes us better.
What is it like to have to try to tackle a guy like Jam Miller?
Jam, he's a fierce runner. He runs hard. When you see him coming, you gotta buckle up and come with it.
I'm from a depth standpoint. Can you just talk about the, depth that's in the secondary and how you guys build upon that of the season? Last season you didn't have a lot of depth. Now you got guys at multiple positions across the defensive backfield. Can you just talk about that?
Yeah, we were deep in DB position there. Right now in camp, we've been gaining an extreme amount of trust and being able to know, you know, our X's and O's and and knowing what's going on around us. And so that's doing a lot of trust for us right now, allowing us to play faster. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
How much have you now going into your second year trying to help bring along guys like Bijan and Chuck who are going into their first years?
Yeah, you know, playing with Chuck in the past and knowing Dijon, growing up around those guys, is those like my brothers. So I'm trying to make sure any information I have, any way I can help them, that's just second nature for me.
Obviously, the three of you are from California, Damani's from California. Your position group's typically a close-knit group, being that you guys are all from the same area. Does that make it even more close?
Most definitely, yeah. You know, like, we, you know, growing up together, playing with Damani in high school, it's just, it's truly a blessing. Most guys can't say they've done that before.
Have you seen Dijon and Chuck kind of come along now that you're what that does impact for them?
Yeah, those guys, they've been bringing such a high energy at practice, and since camp's going on, they've been progressing so well, and just, you know, I'm really excited. I'm really proud of those guys.
What have you seen in a guy like Deshaun Jones now that he's kind of been at the most position for a while?
Yeah, like I said earlier, it's a level of trust. I know what he's gonna do, where he's gonna be, and seeing him fly around, make plays, and, you know, dropping coverage and being able to diagnose routes and stuff like that is real fun to watch.
How does Ty Simpson maybe stack up against some of those other SEC arms that you saw last year, and how have you seen him develop throughout camp?
Yeah, Ty's a pro-style quarterback. He reads the whole defense. He sees what's going on. And, you know, having a guy like that, it really helps us out. And it's a high level of competition at practice.
Off the field, I've heard from players that you're the best bowler on the team, apparently. What are your thoughts on that?
Me and the guys, we read about bowling passes day and in September. So, you know, before camp started like that, we was probably going every day. We bought our own balls. And just a level of bonding that real fun.
Do you like being the best bowler on the team?
Yeah, those games, they get up there, though. 180s, 200s, they get serious.
What's your best score?
Mine's like 194, something like that. Okay. I haven't scratched 200 yet.
Is that a goal of yours?
Yeah, I mean, when we get back into it, I'm probably a little rusty right now.
Coach Womack said Quay Rousseau is the freakiest guy on the team. How, in terms of just his athleticism, how accurate would you say that is?
Yeah, Quay, he has it all, speed, power, intensity. I'm blessed to be able to play with a guy like that.
You probably already answered this already, but from your perspective as a defensive back, what challenge does Ty bring to the table? Is his mobility, him being able to move around? How difficult is that to defend?
Yeah, it's a chess match. You know, if we show our coverage too early, if we're not disguising right, he's checking out every play. He's making his alerts, and going like that, it really makes it sharper.
I don't know if someone's asked you this, but what have you seen out of Dijon Lee so far this camp?
Dijon, he's progressed tremendously in his ability to just, you know, sustain throughout practice, and he's extremely physical, and, you know, a long guy like that, he makes a lot of plays on the ball.
So a lot's been made about how quarterbacks have been thrown too many interceptions in camp. What's been your perspective on that, and making sure you guys still get takeaways?
Yeah, with Ty and Austin back there, Keyline, it's been a chess match. You know, those guys, they're a real tight-knit group too, so they all work together. They talk together all day, so they're all on the same page. We're all on the same page defensively, and so it's a lot of back and forth going on. You know, if we're showing coverages too early, not disguising right. It's a lot of checks. It's a lot of mental games out there.
Do you feel like going up against Ron Williams just about every day in practice makes you a better player, since he's one of the best receivers in the country?
Yeah, most definitely. I'm blessed to be able to play with a guy like that. He's a tremendous athlete, great human, great teammate, and yeah, he makes everybody better.
Last two.
How exciting is it going to be in a couple of weeks just to face a different jersey, play somebody else?
Yeah, we're really in turnaround right now, focusing on day by day. I'm just looking forward to tomorrow.
Nick Saban used to say, I'll name a starting quarterback when they went over the team. How has Ty went over the defense, or has he yet?
Yeah, Ty, he's a leader, man. I'm extremely glad that's my quarterback. He's the type of guy, you know, he's a guy's guy. Makes you want to play harder for him. And, yeah.
All right, so there you go. That was Alabama cornerback Xavier Brown. If you guys haven't seen him without his helmet on, funny enough, I know QD made the comment. He said he looks like a kid. He does look young. Granted, he is young. I mean, he's maybe 19. But I remember last year when I used to see him, I was like, dang, that dude does look young. But he plays a lot older than he looks. I'll say that. He's definitely a really good football player. But a couple of things he mentioned, talking about the quarterbacks, man. I know a lot of fans probably are excited to hear him talk about that chess match offensively. You know, a lot of people obviously talk about last year feeling like we weren't, you know, able to do some of those things in terms of checking in and out and, you know, getting our offense really in good positions. But it sounds like, man, they've definitely taken that step offensively in terms of being able to really, you know, just put themselves in the best positions, given what they're getting defensively. And it sounds like our offense is really challenging our defense right now. I mean, you can even tell, like, when they asked about the interceptions, like, it sounds like the case where they're probably getting on to these guys. Hey, we need to force more turnovers. Obviously, that's going to always be a defensive emphasis. But really, you know, with Cain Womack, that's what he wants to do. And he's probably not too happy knowing that those turnovers haven't really come just yet. But on the flip side, that's a really good sign offensively. But to me, I'm still going back to the same thing I always say, man. Pass rush is one of the greatest pass defenses, man. And maybe we're just not getting enough pressure on the quarterback. So I'm just telling you, man, you get pressure on the quarterback, it forces errant throws, it forces tips and overthrows, and that's what leads to interceptions. So personally, I know everybody's probably looking at, oh, well, the secondary needs to get more play or get more picks and whatnot. But the first thing I'm thinking is pass rush, man. Pass rush would help that out. It definitely would help that out. Chase, we're kind of in like an awkward time. We can do this. We'll hit our timeout now. And when we come back, we'll just do a quick little close here. To wrap things up on this free-for-all Friday right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We'll be right back.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, it's Gary Harris. Monday morning at 9 a.m., we're going to recap the weekend, including Alabama's Saturday football scrimmage with Rodney Orr from TiderInsider.com, plus Casey Smith on golf, and we'll continue our high school football previews and, of course, your phone calls as well. That's Monday morning at 9 a.m.
Catch the Gary Harris Show Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. on Tide 100.9 and Tide100.9.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
Save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Available in every state. Potential savings vary. Allstate Vehicle and Property Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud.
Brought to you by ChowsCountryBuffet.com. Call 205-810-8888. The all-new Chow's Country Buffet, Skyland Boulevard. Join us for a meal to remember.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Briefly to this Free for All Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. All right, real quick before we get out of here, we were talking in the chat about the whole textbook scandal from 2001 here. And I didn't even realize we had something like that. And from what I'm reading from you guys in the chat, man, it sounds like, I mean, they threw the hammer down on us and they're talking about some textbooks. So, I mean, the more I learn, the more I realize this Michigan stuff really was a joke. So thank you guys for informing me. Real quick, we'll end on this. QD says, Christian, if you have a defense that has to blitz primarily to get pressure on the quarterback, how does that hurt the defense? Which is a really good question, because we were talking about, like, if you don't necessarily have those home run hitters that you rely on third downs, you typically do have to try to, you know, do a by committee approach. And so I'll give you an example. So when I tore my bicep, 2017, not only did I get hurt, Terrell Lewis got hurt. Hell, Rashawn got hurt early on in the year. He came back a lot quicker. Anthony got banged up. We didn't hardly have any outside linebackers. And so what we had to do was, man, you had to throw in a lot of pressures, kind of bring in some safety blitzes and bring in other guys to help provide some pressure. It helps when you have a lot of good players in the back end, more depth there that, you know, you can kind of work with. But that's typically what I mean when I say, like, other approaches, you know, bringing guys off the edge, like a safety, you know what I mean? Something like cat blitz here and there, you know, plugging backers, just trying to find ways to bring more pressure than just your traditional, you know, standard rush. That being said, to answer your question, how does that hurt a defense? Just like anything else, when you're overly aggressive, you know, there's a lot more risk of having, you know, explosive plays, especially if your guys don't execute, right? Like, I mean, think about how many times you see, like, a coordinator will call a good call, but a guy, like, you know, say that safety, he's not used to really coming off the edge. He over pursues, you know what I mean? He misses the opportunity. Now you're playing with one less guy, and or if they're already anticipating and they pick it up right, you have less guys to cover. So basically, you know, when you're aggressive, you're more vulnerable for, you know, explosive plays or things like that if you don't succeed, right? It's no different than anything, the high risk, high reward type deal. So that being said, that's typically what you expect. So the important thing is, the moral of the story is, if you are going to bring pressure, you're going to be aggressive, you have to execute. If not, you're in trouble, right? Again, high risk, high reward. That being said, we got to get out of here. T-Town Sports Daily coming up next. Appreciate everybody. Great week here on the show. Looking forward to hopping back on here Monday with you guys. We'll be breaking down scrimmage number 2 again, taking place tomorrow in the stadium. Thanks again for a great week. Looking forward to a great weekend and talking with you guys Monday right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. See you guys then.